Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Barbara Amazing Grace Reynolds, and this is the show Get the Answers to Life's Questions, a show that was created so that you would have a place to ask those questions about your life and get the answers that your guidance wants you to hear, the answers that can help you to make that change. So today's show is about rejection. And rejection is an interesting thing. I had something that happened to me about a week ago, and I went to take something to the man in my life. You never know what to call this person, you know. It's not a boyfriend because he's not a boy, you know. So I took this item to him, and it was outside the place where he's doing some work. And he took the item, he told me thank you. You know, he was perfectly, wonderfully polite and everything, but he didn't kiss me like he usually does. And so I left there thinking, okay, what does that mean? And I started to let my mind go down this path of, well, what if it means this? Well, what if it means that he's not interested in me anymore? What if it means that he's going to call me tomorrow and he's going to tell me that it's over? And I was creating all of these stories in my mind. I was creating that I was being rejected because he didn't do what I expected him to do. And so I did some clearing work on that because, frankly, I didn't even want to go there. I knew that there must be a perfectly logical explanation, and it was probably the fact that he was right there where he was doing some work, and that wasn't what he wanted to be seen as doing by those people. And so I put it out of my mind. I didn't talk to him about it. I just completely let it go. And he called me later, and he was like, I'm sorry if I didn't pay as much attention to you as I usually do when you brought me that. I want you to know that I appreciate it. And see, I didn't ask him any questions about it. I never said anything to indicate that there was any kind of problem in my mind about how he had behaved. So this was coming from him. This was just him expressing that he wanted to make sure that I knew that he still cared. So the whole point of this story is that when something happens, we create our own story about it. We decide whether or not someone is rejecting us, whether or not this is a negative thing, whether or not this is something we need to worry about. We are the ones who make it a problem. So remember that when you are feeling rejection. This is something that you are creating. Why are you creating it? What is it saying about you? And usually it has something to do with your beliefs about you, your insecurities about your own value. Because frankly, if you think that you are this incredibly wonderful person that everyone wants to be with, the idea of rejection never crosses your mind. And if you are firmly centered in who you are, in knowing your value, if someone else doesn't agree with your value, it doesn't faze you because that's just their opinion. You don't have to accept anybody else's opinion. You know who you are. So rejection becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you believe that you are not worthy, you are not deserving, and that other people are going to see that, and they are going to not want to be with you because of that, then you are creating the rejection that you are bringing into your life. It's like everything else in our lives. We are the ones that create everything we experience. And we do that based on our beliefs. Just like I said, if you believe that you are this wonderful, fabulous person, then someone else saying, no, I choose not to be with you, doesn't bother you. Why would it? It's not you. It's just whatever it is they've decided. It doesn't affect you. We take on things and we take and make them personal. We see it as an attack on us. And we, you know, cry about it or run and hide or whatever reaction we have. And it creates all of this blame, you know, because this person obviously was out to hurt you. And sometimes it creates shame because we believe that we have done something wrong. And apparently this person knows about it. And so we are ashamed of what we've done. And we blame this person for bringing this up. And then we start to punish ourselves. And sometimes we decide that we need to punish the other people. This is all stuff that we create ourselves. We create what we experience. Because if you didn't take it any of it personally, if whatever that person said was just whatever that person said, then there's nothing else to create. There is no blame. There is no shame. There is no punishment. There is no guilt. There doesn't need to be any of that. So whenever you are in those energies, you need to look at what it is you believe, what it is you are creating, what it is you have been taught about yourself and about life. Because there's so much more to life than what somebody else thinks about you. So I keep having these experiences. Everybody's always having experiences. But a couple of weeks ago, you know, I decided to do the Living Your Passion course where to help people get in touch with who they really are and start creating the life that they truly want to live that passion, to enjoy every moment of their existence and to let go of the need to be stuck in a job, in a relationship, in a whatever it is that you feel that you're stuck in, to just let that go. And things in my life have been changing since I made that decision. And even though we've only had one class, I can see huge changes as far as me. And some of those changes were happening today because on Tuesday mornings at 7 a.m. Central Time, I do the Morning with Jesus call with DC Love. And we channel the messages that we're getting from Jesus for other people to hear. And these messages are always so incredible. And they just leave me feeling so warm and fuzzy and wonderful. But that's a completely different thing. And if you want to listen to those messages, you can go on YouTube, They get posted there so you can listen to anything that you want to listen to and see how they resonate with you. So this morning before the call, you know, I wake up and I'm in the middle of these really bizarre dreams, dreams that make absolutely no sense to me. And whenever I wake up, the first thing I start doing is the infinity healing, and I start doing it for releasing whatever it is that I needed to release from the dreams and accepting whatever it is I needed to accept from them. Because even if I don't know what purpose they have in that moment, I know that my guidance does, and so I give them permission to do whatever that needs to be done. But all of that left me feeling kind of out of it. Not my usual, you know, awake and alert and alive self. Even after I drank my glass of water, which usually is wonderful for waking me up. But after the call, I was feeling much more energized, and I started doing the things that I was guided to do, and I had this whole list of things that I needed to get done. And some of them were things that I'd been needing to get done for a couple of weeks. But this morning, I did them all before the radio show in the 3 hours that I had between the two. So one of the things about the message from the morning with Jesus was that Jesus talked about, listen. I don't even remember the whole sentence. I just remember the word, listen. And when I heard the word listen, I started hearing the song, Listen. And I don't know if you've ever listened to the song. Beyonce did it, and there were lots of other people that did it. And one of the people that did it was a little boy called Malachi, who did it on an audition for one of those talent things that they have on television. And he, you know, it's the exact same words, but when he did it, it wasn't just singing a song. He was living the words to that song. So if you get a chance to go on YouTube and pull up the audition where he is singing that song, make sure you have a tissue because it's liable to bring tears to your eyes. It brought tears to mine. But I listened to the Beyonce rendition over and over and over and over, which is another reason why I'm so glad that I live alone again, yes, because when I get the guidance to listen to a song, I don't usually just listen to it once, usually at least 20 times before I stop listening to it. So that allows me to get whatever it is that I am meant to get out of that song, whatever understanding I am meant to get about my life comes to me from that song. And I was listening to that song, and I was also answering emails from people, and some of the emails were about people's lives, and I noticed that the answers that I was giving them were kind of tied in with the words to those songs, because it was like my guidance was telling me, this is what's going on with them. They are beginning to recognize their power, their truth. They are getting ready to stand in that power. And if you've never thought about that song in that particular way, I'm going to play it now, and I encourage you to listen and see what the song is saying to you. So this is the song, Listen.
The song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't conceive. Listen to the sound from deep within, it's only beginning to find relief. Oh, the time has come for my aside and turned into your own. Oh.
So many times the things that are happening in our lives are about us finding our own voice, finding the truth of who we are, and living that truth. And sometimes that seems like it's so incredibly difficult to do. It's like everywhere we turn, it seems to be the wrong choice, the wrong thing for us to do, and we just can't seem to get it. And the truth is that we are being given the guidance that we need to understand our lives, to understand the things that are happening in our lives. But a lot of times we're not willing to accept it. And when we start to listen, really listen to our hearts, listen to our own souls, allow that truth, and then stand in that truth. Make our decisions from that truth, from that strength, instead of debating every little thing in our lives and going back and forth and back and forth over what it is we're going to create. When we stand in that truth and we step forward in that truth, then we are doing what is for our highest good. And it's going to come out right. It may not seem like it when we start, but it will. Each of us does have the connection because God is within us, each and every one of us. And there is no separation. And no matter what ego is telling you, God is still there. You can't put God out. So when you are accepting yourself as someone who has a connection, who knows the answers, who can trust their own guidance, their own soul, and you're taking an enormous weight off of your own shoulders, because you don't have to keep looking at what's wrong in your life. You can start to live what is right. So I was talking on the morning with Jesus about the fact that I am back at my desk because everyone else has moved out of this house and it's just me and a dog. And I now have the freedom to sit at my own desk again. Yay. So in front of me are all these things that I've taped up on the wall, all of these. Okay, they're not confirmations, they're not oaths, they are, I'm not getting the word that I'm looking for, but anyway, they are truths, I'll say that. And I am now being drawn to one of them to read it so that this can be cleared from you. Because as I am reading this, the infinity healing energy is going to be moving through you. It's going to be assisting you in letting go of what you need to let go of in this statement. So here is the statement. When I blame somebody else for anything and everything, I decide that I am a victim. When I claim myself as a victim, I incur victimhood, and my life reflects this in all ways. So just take a nice deep breath and accept that. And think about your life. Think about the choices you make. Are you accepting responsibility for your life, or are you always looking for some external reason why things are happening the way that they are? Are you blaming things on the other people who are involved in your life? If you live with someone else, have you decided that that someone else is the problem? That if they were just different, everything would be different. So you're making yourself the victim. You're giving them your power. And whenever you give your power away, you're not going to find the happiness, the fulfillment, the satisfaction in your own life. Because frankly, you said that, here, I don't have any control. Which means that you just kind of get slung around where it gets slung around. Because you're not standing in your own power. So when you are standing in your own power, it feels completely different. When you are accepting the truth of who you are, it feels so different. So I want to read another one of these statements and just feel the difference in this energy. I accept myself as I am. I am an aspect of the Creator in full manifestation, and I align every aspect of my being to this truth. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. Just take a nice deep breath and breathe that one in. And I don't know about you, but that one makes me sit up straighter. It's about accepting me. It's about allowing me to be okay with me. It's not saying that anybody else is to blame, because there's nothing to blame anybody for. My life is my choices, and I create it by those choices. And even if I refuse to make a choice, I am still making a choice. So there's no way that you can get around those choices. So why not make the ones that are for your highest good, the ones that benefit you? And you always know what the right choice is for you. Sometimes you tell yourself that you don't know or that you can't decide because the choices are just too similar and there's no way that you can choose this one or this one. But you do actually know which one you really want, which one really resonates with you. And remember, if you are in one of those situations where you just, for whatever reason, have decided that you can't choose, you can take two sheets of paper, write one choice on one, the other choice on the other, put them on the floor a few feet from each other, and then go stand on one, see how it feels, walk around a little, go stand on the other, see how it feels, and there will be a difference between how they feel. And you can decide which one actually feels right for you, because they will not feel the same, because they aren't the same. God does not make it difficult for us to make choices. We are the ones who put the difficulty in there. We'll give you clear indications as to what is the best choice for you. It's like that whole rejection thing that I was talking about. You are the one that creates that someone has rejected you, because you have taken it personal. You have made it important. You have said, because this particular person doesn't want me, then my life is over. That's your personal choice. It really doesn't have anything to do with the truth, because the truth of you is there no matter who else is in your life. You can be happy no matter who else is in your life or who else is not in your life. You can be successful no matter who else is in your life or not in your life. These are your choices. So when you decide that you have to have this particular person in your life in order for you to be happy and successful and to live the life of your dreams, you're the one putting the restrictions on your own life. You are the one who has decided you need to live in this little box and that there is nothing outside of this little box. You are the one who is sentencing yourself to misery, to pain, to loneliness, to whatever it is that you have sentenced yourself to. This is your creation. This is your experience. You can't blame it on anybody else. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. It's all about you and what you believe about yourself. No one can reject you unless you choose to be rejected. And your guidance really wants you to get that. So I'm going to say it again. No one can reject you unless you choose to be rejected. There was a saying that I thought was so neat that I had read before. And now I can't remember it, but it just fits right here. It was something like, when you ask someone to do something and they say no, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means that you're not going to do it with them. So it's the same kind of basis. We decide that things have to be a particular way. And the person that we've decided has to be a part of that says no. And we decide, okay, then I can't do this at all. And that's not true. You just can't do it with them. You can still do it. You can find someone else to do it with. It can be even more fun than it would have been if the person you asked to begin with had said yes. It can turn out to be the most incredible experience of your life. And that's the difference between just accepting the fact that someone has said no, okay, no big deal, and making it into an ending. An ending for whatever it is that you were wanting to do in your life. We take little things and we blow them up until they're as big as Mount Rushmore. No idea how big Mount Rushmore is. And then we decide that we can't do it because obviously it's as big as Mount Rushmore. But it didn't start out that size. It started out as that tiny little thing the size of the head of a pin. And you turned it into something bigger. Why do we do that? Why do we complicate our lives like that. Because that, again, is a choice. Know that you are more. Know that you are the one who is creating. You are the one who is in control to a certain extent. I don't mean control in that negative, controlling way where you're trying to make everybody else fit into the little boxes that you have for them, you know, hitting them on the head with those little rubber mallets, like a gopher game, you know, where you hit them on the head. But more of control in you are making choices about what it is you want to feel, what it is you want to experience, what it is you are willing to allow. That's the kind of control that you have. Interesting to me that we really do get taught over and over and over and over and over again, and this depends on how much you interact with the media, but we really get taught that things are beyond our control. And the phrase, you know, you can't fight City Hall is what pops into my mind. And guidance is like, well, you don't really need to fight City Hall because you are the one that is creating what you are experiencing. And if you want to experience that this issue, whatever the issue is, it doesn't actually have to be a bad thing. It doesn't have to be detrimental. There are actually good things that can come out of it. Then you can go up against City Hall, but you really won't be going against them, with the expectations that miracles will happen, that it will all work out, and it will work out beautifully and wonderfully, and there will not be an issue. And the outcome will be different. Because if you approach it as a battle, then you are automatically making whomever it is you are battling put up their defenses. When people are being defensive, they don't listen. They don't hear you. They don't connect with you. They're too busy making sure that they are safe. That's why fighting doesn't actually solve any kinds of problems, because you're not dealing with the problem. You're dealing with the fight, and the object of the fight is to win. And it doesn't just apply to fighting. It applies to anything where you're encouraged to see it as a competition. There has to be one winner. Everybody else is a loser. When you are approaching it from that, you have shut yourself off because your only focus is on winning. You're not learning. You're not developing. You're not growing. You're only trying to win. So when we let go of that mindset and see everything as an opportunity for us to become better, better at whatever it is that we are doing, then that shifts the focus. That shifts everything. And I know I've mentioned this silly little word streak game several times. And since I have started letting go of the whole idea that it's a competition and that I'm competing against these people that I'm playing against, and sometimes it's hard not to go into that competition because I was a competitive person. But when I let that go, and I do accept that it is my opportunity to increase my own ability to find these words and to find words that are worth more and more and more points and bigger and bigger and bigger words, my own statistics have actually improved. I am finding more words, and those words are worth more points. And it is flowing when I play, as opposed to me having to struggle. When it was a competition, I had to beat the other person. Now I just have a goal of what I want to get out of it. And as long as I get what I want to, it really doesn't matter whether or not I win. Because it's not about the final score. It's about me becoming more. It also makes the game more pleasurable. And I do find myself really enjoying this game. And I'm okay no matter what. So it does take all of the stress out of it. It's helping me to see how much stress is self-imposed. It is our beliefs that we have to meet a deadline. We have to get this done. If we don't do it by a particular time, then, you know, the world's going to end or whatever it is we've created about it. This is stress that we create for ourselves. And it's based in all of those things that we've been taught to believe. You know, the belief that if you have this bill and you don't pay the bill on time, then of course it affects your credit score. And if your credit score gets too low, then you'll never be able to buy a home or a car or whatever it is you might want to buy later, because those are the consequences of you not meeting that deadline. And that is incredibly important. And we stress over this. And sometimes the stress gets so bad that we make ourselves sick. We make ourselves physically sick because of the stress. And if you look at the whole picture, the big picture, is it really worth it? Is your health worth it? And more than likely, the answer is going to be no. So why do we do this? Why do we create all of this negativity in our own lives? It is not required. It's not. I've checked. But we do it. So much of it is the conditioning, what we have been taught about life and about ourselves and about possibilities and potentials. We have been taught that things have to be done in a certain way, in a certain sequence, in order to get those certain results. And if we don't get those certain results, then obviously we missed one of those steps. Because it can't be anything other than us and our being wrong that caused us not to achieve what we were looking for. And see how we let all that pressure on our own backs. How we get so intense about things that we don't really need to get intense about. So look at your life. Look at what it is you are creating. Are you creating what you actually want? And the answer is either yes or no. And if the answer is no, the question is why. And I'm sure you'll have 1,001 reasons why this doesn't work. And I want you to look at those reasons that you've come up with and find every single place in there where it involves another person and take the other person out. What is it that you are thinking? What is it that you are doing? Because it's not about anybody else. It's about you. How can you change your thoughts, your beliefs, your patterns to change the situation? Because it is about you. And I'm not saying that if you change all of this stuff in you, then of course everybody else that you want to be involved in this situation is going to go, oh, I'm here now. Let's make this wonderful. Because if you are truly changing you, then all of those other people that you want to be involved in the situation become unimportant. Because you realize that your happiness, your satisfaction with life is not dependent on anybody else. Because you are standing in your own power. You are creating what you desire. And there is no one more important in your life than you. So what are you creating? What is it that you really want? Are you living your passion? So one of the things that I'm doing this month as a part of living my passion is that I've committed to write a 50,000 word novel by the end of this month. And I started on the first of this month. And for some people, that's like, oh my gosh, you can't do that. You don't have enough time. How are you ever going to find blah, 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 blah. And I see it as a fun adventure. I mean, I've already got this wonderful storyline that I've started, and I've started writing it, and I can't wait to see where it's going to go next. I'm really looking forward to this and to the opportunity of my own growth as a result of this. And it really doesn't matter to me whether or not anyone ever reads it, although my guidance say that other people will read it, and that's great. But it's not about that. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing this for me. This is important to me. This is part of my evolution, part of my growth. And there is no one more important in my life than me. Now, this doesn't mean that I don't love all of the other people in my life, because I do. And I have amazing, wonderful people in my life, and I love them dearly. But I'm not responsible for them. It is not my job to fix them or save them or any other terminology you want to use. Each one is creating their own life. And I understand that. And I accept that. And I allow that. Because that's the way I want to be treated. I don't want anyone thinking that they have to manipulate me. Because that's what I would be doing if I were trying to save them. I was trying to fix their life. That's manipulation. And I don't need that. And I'm not going to live that. Because it doesn't feel good. And I like feeling good. So remember that when you are creating your experience, you are deciding what it is that you want to feel. And if you are deciding that you want to feel a rejection and frustration and stress and all of that, that's fine, but that's your choice. Don't expect other people to want to come and join you in it, because that is your choice. And please don't throw pity parties and be offended that no one shows up, because that's your party, that's your choice, and no one else is required to live your choice. That's on you. So when you look at your life and you look at who you are and who you are being, look at the choices that you are making, because that is creating what you are experiencing. So much of the things that determine what's happening in our lives is really based in what it is we've learned in the past. We have all of this wonderful programming, and it's running in our subconscious. You may not even be aware of what it is that's running in there. All of the things that you learn, some of these things you learned before you were old enough to even walk or feed yourself or talk or any of that, but it's still in there. You still took it in. It became a part of you. And then you reach a stage in your life where you're looking at your life and you're going, this is really a screwed up mess, and I don't know how I got here. And that's when you start looking at what you believe about you. You can find some of the things about that you believe about you by merely saying them out loud. You can say something like, I'm a wonderful person with value and worth. And then ask yourself, how did that feel? Did it feel true? And if it didn't, then you have beliefs that say that you are not a wonderful person. You do not have value. You do not have worth. And if you have those beliefs, then the life you create reflects those beliefs. In which case, you probably have people who don't value you, who don't see any worth in you, who tell you that you're a crappy little person. Maybe you can't get a raise at your job. Maybe you can't get a job. Maybe you can't find anybody who is willing to love you. That is all based in your beliefs. So look at what it is that is actually going on in your life, because it's showing you what you believe. And if you have the most wonderful relationship in the world, then you know that you believe that you have value, that you have worth, that you are worth loving. If you have a job that you absolutely love, that you wake up every morning and you look forward to going and doing that, then you know that you are listening to your heart. You are creating what your heart says is for your highest good. And you are receiving the rewards of knowing your value, your worth, and loving yourself. So even if you don't consciously know what it is you believe, you are being shown what you believe by your life, by the people in your life, because people reflect back to us what we believe. And that is sometimes really difficult for us to look at. Especially if we're thinking about someone that's in our life that we consider to be an absolutely horrible person. You know, this person is just scum of the earth or whatever it is you believe about them. And you really need to look at the things that you say about that person. And you may actually need to write them down, saying that so-and-so is, and then write down whatever it is you believe about them. And then look at yourself. Yourself, is this true for me? And just go down the list and ask, is this true for me? And even if your mind is saying no, notice also how you feel. I mean, your mind may be saying no, but you're getting this really knotted feeling inside of you when you read this statement. There is something inside of you that does believe that statement, even though your brain is saying that you don't. That's why it's important for us to connect with our feelings. We are more than just a brain and a head. We are also a heart. We are also all of the feelings. We are our intuition, our guidance, our knowing. We are God living within a body. We are more than just a brain. So don't expect your brain to be able to give you the answers. It's not created to do that. It's actually a tool that was created to work with your heart in creating what you truly desire to experience in your life. So no matter how smart you are or how dumb you are, you're still not going to be able to get the real answers, the real truths, from your own brain. It's just not what it was made for. So you are creating everything you are experiencing. And if you are creating that your life is full of turmoil and stress and disasters and this bad thing after this bad thing after this bad thing, then don't be surprised if you feel really crappy. Because all of that is crappy energy. And it's in your body. And it has an effect on you. Knowing that we are more than we've ever been taught that we were, more than we know that we are, gives us the opportunity to really explore ourselves. To go within, and you can go within through writing or meditating or singing or dancing or painting or whatever avenue works for you. But by going within, and asking the questions that we have about our lives. God is within you. There is no way that you could exist if God was not within you. And you can change the word God to whatever word you want to change. You can call him Fred if you want to. Doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to God either. But that energy is a part of you. It is what gives you life. It is what creates you. And you can't separate yourself from that energy, no matter what anybody has told you. Even when you die, you're still that energy. It's only the physical part of you that dies. The energetic part of you is eternal. And so when you start connecting with that energy, that essence, that light, that divine state within you, you can get the answers to the questions that you're looking for. And if you want to learn how to make that connection, there are 1,001 different ways. You know, you can do the automatic writing, which I found really worked well for me. But that's what fits with who I am. So find what works for you. Or if there are several things that you need to do, but just pick one and do that long enough to know whether or not it really feels right for you. The whole point is that you do have access to God, to this energy. You don't have to prove that you are good enough, that you've lived a good life, that you've paid your taxes and you haven't abused your children or anything like that. You don't have to prove anything because God is there for you and God's love for you conditional, unconditional, which means you don't have to prove it. It's just there. And when you allow yourself to live in that love, to be guided by that love, and to let go of all of that other crap that you've been taught, and I'm sorry to tell you, but most stuff you've been taught is crap. When you let go of all that crap and you start living from that love, it opens up your whole life. It opens you up to being the amazing person that you were meant to be. It opens you up to writing a book in 1 month, you know. It's really so wonderful, the changes that I've seen within myself, you know, just deciding that it's okay for me to live my passion. What I'm doing now is part of my passion. I love helping people. I love assisting them in seeing the things that they need to see in themselves, of releasing the beliefs that no longer fit into their lives, of opening up to the truth of who they are. This is something that I love. That's why I do it. And I find that more and more and more, as I open up to this love within me, the things that fit with me come into my life. And things that do not fit with me leave my life. And I don't miss them because they didn't fit anyway. And so I am opening up to having a better and better and better life. Okay, we have a hand up now. Let me click here.
Hi, yeah, it's Helena. I'll try to be quick. Things are pretty upside down in my life. But I had even one specific question. I did an interview, taped it, a video interview, that was so important to me. And it turned out that the equipment malfunctioned. And I have a copy of it with no sound and no picture. And I mean, a lot of the stuff that's gone on, I'm blaming myself for. But this is something that I'm not. Why does stuff like that happen when it's something that's your passion? You're coming from it from a real sincere way and just didn't work. I mean, is it just, well, malfunction, that's it? Or is there a bigger reason in the universe?
It could be an opportunity for you to reconnect with whomever it is you did that interview with. and do another one and learn even more.
Well, I will reconnect. I feel really badly. There are people from out of town. They took time out of a very hectic schedule in New York to come to a studio with me. It just stinks.
So it sounds like you're coming from a lot of guilt and blame that you're laying on your own shoulders because this didn't work.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel good?
Of course not.
Then why do you do it?
You know, you do have a point.
The people involved in that interview were making their own choices. They chose to be a part of that. That was their choice. You didn't do anything wrong. Why are you beating yourself up?
Okay. I guess that's because it's the natural tendency with me.
You need to let that one go.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing is, on that note, I'm also blaming myself for things not quite having worked out here in my present location and putting that all on me. And I mean, would you assess that this time it is my fault?
No. I don't go around looking for fault. It really, you know, that's really not my thing. If you really want someone to assign fault and tell you that you are to blame, then you need to call someone else, because I'm not going to do that. It's not a matter of fault. It's a matter of choice. What is it that you want to create? What kind of life is it that you want to create?
It just seems that I could have used this as a springboard to create more of what I wanted rather than...
No, see, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, what is it that you want to create now?
Okay. I am clear on what I want to create now.
Then do it. Because if you're doing that, you're not sitting there thinking about, well, I could have done this or I should have done that. You're busy living your life, creating what you desire.
I see. So it's taking each moment at a time.
Yeah. What steps are you going to take today to create what you desire? Just give me 3 steps.
All right. One, I will write down a list of what I want in the home. 2, I have to start packing here and move so I can get out really quickly, or that might work, to save on some rent, to pay another rent at another place. And 3, I guess I have to call my old place and see if I can go on a month-to-month rather than signing a lease there.
Okay. So you've got 3 steps. You're going to make a list of what it is you actually want. You're going to pack, and you're going to change to a month-to-month lease. Those are the only 3 things that you need to be thinking about. Those are the 3 things you're going to do. All of that other stuff is not important.
Well, even having the... All right, I mean, it's okay, I'm going to ask you the same question, though. Even having the other prospective roommate bail... based on supposedly how I acted, but also because I injured myself, and that just made things get pushed back a day or two. I guess I'm really looking for places to blame myself.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
So are you ready to let that go?
Yeah.
So would you like an infinity healing for releasing the false belief that you are this horrible person who is just totally screwed up and screws up everything in their life and has nothing that ever turns out right because you are such a screwed up person. And if you're willing to let that go, say yes.
Yes.
And take three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for accepting the truth that you can see what does and does not work in your life, and you can make choices that bring more of what does work into your life, and you can have a life that flows with grace and ease as you are letting go of the things that do not matter? And if you like that, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for accepting that you are guided, that you are in touch with your guidance, that you have a deep understanding of what is right in every single moment? And it is okay for you to get out of your mind, out of your head, and follow your guidance. If so, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for giving yourself complete permission to release every single thing that you have ever blamed yourself for? If so, say yes.
That would be very nice, yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for giving God permission to fill in the wallow where you go and wallow in your blame so that you don't even have any temptation to go back to that wallow because it's just not going to be there anymore? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. And would you like an infinity healing for releasing any need, any beliefs, any old programming within you that says that you need to create disasters so that you will have something to deal with? If so, say yes.
Yes.
And three nice deep breaths. Does that feel better?
I think so. I think so.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what you're going to do today. You know what those three things are. So get busy.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. That is the show for today. And Friday, I will have Janetta Crumpley with me, and we will talk about whatever it is we're guided to talk about. So I hope everyone has a wonderful week and that you are each allowing yourself to start living your passion. It is fun. Okay, I'll talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.